So this morning, just want to introduce to all of you, all ages, the idea of God's kingdom and how it's presented to us at the beginning of the Bible in the book of Genesis. God's kingdom is all about God's people in God's place under God's rule. And how did that all begin? Well, it began in the beginning with God making everything. And I've got some pictures of some of the things that God made. So some of them I'll tell you, and some of them you might have to help me with working out what they are. But we're going to work through those days of creation that we just read about in the Bible, about all the different things that God made. So God made the earth in some kind of way and put the basic ingredients there. And then working through the days, on Sunday, the first day, God made the light and the dark. Maybe he made light and dark, or maybe he just made the property of light, the thing we call light, and set the earth spinning, something like that. On the Monday, he made water on the earth and water in the skies. What do we call water in the skies? Clouds, absolutely. We have lots of clouds. I'm afraid the clouds have come back a bit today, haven't they? And it started raining after quite a nice week. But God made the water separate, water on the earth, water in the sky, that we call the clouds. And he made the bit in between, the atmosphere or the air. On Tuesday, he makes a place for people to live. He makes the land. And then he separates the land from the seas, and he makes lots of vegetation. So if you want to call out some of the vegetation as it appears, I think I know what the first one is. Want to tell me? Got 7 seconds. I think, is it blackberries? Good one. I thought it was grapes. These two? Sweet corn and some other kind of grain. Strawberries. Who likes strawberries? Yeah, especially English strawberries at the right time of year. They're really the best. So all those kind of things were made on the Tuesday. And then on the Wednesday, God started to sort out things a bit more and order them in the skies. And he made the sun and the moon. And he just made all the stars. It was a simple thing. He just made all the stars. All the stars that there are. There's probably 100 billion stars in each of the 100 billion galaxies that there are. And of course, there could be more galaxies that people can't even see yet. So God made lots of stars. Made it just by speaking. Then on the Thursday, he made what?
Fish.
Fish. Yes? And that's a little school of fish, as we like to call them. And as well as the fish, he made some other things. Yeah, parrots, birds. I think I've got another kind of bird just coming up. What kind of bird's that?
Eagle.
It's an eagle. Beautiful, aren't they? Or maybe it's a kestrel, I don't know. Is it an eagle? I don't know anything, do I really? It's some sort of hunting bird, though, isn't it? And he also made the land animals, kind of wild ones and tame ones. What do you call that, a gazelle? A what? Okay, that one's a polar bear. I thought that was a rather nice photo of a polar bear. My favourite animal in the world ever, cows. He made those as well. Maybe not looking quite like that. These have been sort of bred over the years to produce milk or lots of meat, like me. But I love cows. Anyway, he made all of those. And he made everything else that I haven't mentioned. And then on the last day also at the end, what did he make on at the end? He didn't make cut-out paper men and women. He made real men and women, and they were called Adam and Eve, weren't they? So God made everything, absolutely everything. Quite a few things have died out, but even now there's about 1.5 million species of things out there that are alive, and God made all of those, along with all the planets and all the stars and all the bits in between. That's the kind of God he is, the God who makes everything. And God made these two people, and of course he made all the other people as well who followed them and gave them the ability to live. He made people especially to enjoy the world that he had made. It's like this. It's like God made all these things that we mentioned just for man and woman to have a good time. That's almost how it reads, that they're to have a good time and to enjoy all the good things that God has made. You know, it's really encouraging to know that God made you and made you with a purpose to know him. Sometimes we might feel a bit rubbish. Sometimes we might feel not very special at all. Sometimes we might feel like a random accident. If you look at pictures of loads of stars, you think, how tiny I am. But actually, when you know that God has made you specifically just so you would know him, then you realize that you're special. We have to figure out what that means, that we're special, but at least it means we are special and we can know God and we can know meaning, can know what it is to live. So, the first thing is that God made everything, but especially he made people. And God's people in the beginning were Adam and Eve. Let's sing a hymn which talks all about God's creating power. I sing the almighty power of God. So let's stand up and sing that, and then we'll look at our next point. So God, in the beginning, he made everything and he made people. And God's people in the beginning are Adam and Eve. They're God's people. And he makes a place for them to start out life. The place is called Eden, sometimes called the Garden of Eden. And it wasn't a barren place like that. It wasn't a place where nothing was growing. It was more like this. It was more like a place that was already organized and already had lots of nice things growing in it. I don't know what you think about when you hear garden. You might think about your little yard out the back of your house, some lawns to mow, and maybe you can sit out there and maybe you can play. Maybe you've got a big enough garden to play out there and maybe even play tennis or kick a football around. But still quite a small thing. That's not the idea of the Garden of Eden. Just think of some massive park that you might visit. That's more like the idea of the Garden of Eden. A big area that God had provided for his people, Adam and Eve. Think about trees to climb and hills to roll down and streams to paddle in and fruit to eat. And none of it poisonous. Think about a place that's already cultivated but still needs a bit of work done on it, like your garden. But it's not like drudgery, it's not like misery, it's not like, oh no, I've got to do the gardening again, oh no, the lawns need mowing, oh no, the weeds have grown back. It's going to be a garden. It was a garden that was fun to work in. The man was going to work, he wasn't just going to sit in a deck chair all day, he was going to work, but he was going to enjoy the work because the earth wasn't pushing back at him all the time. The earth wasn't going against him all the time. The weeds weren't always pushing up just as soon as he'd cut them down. So he was going to enjoy his work in this place. God's place for God's people was Eden, the area of Eden, the Garden of Eden. And do you know what's really special about this place? It's not really just the plants and the trees. There's lots of good things to eat. There were lots of good things to see, but it wasn't just those things. What made this garden especially good is that God was there. God was there speaking to them. God was there telling them what to do. God was there as their friend. They served him, and they were going to enjoy it. And that's the great thing about this place. God's place for them was Eden. And you know that we're all made to live in God's presence in this way. That's how God made it in the beginning, that God's people would live in God's place. They would enjoy God. They would know God. They would serve God, and it would be good. We're all made to live in God's presence. Youngest person, the oldest person here this morning. What you really need is to know God and to be able to serve God. Because here's a place where we're not afraid anymore. Here's a place where we're not fighting anymore. Here's a place where we don't feel lonely anymore. And all of us have a longing. We really want to get back to the Garden of Eden. Maybe that's why sometimes when we see a wild area of garden, or whether we, particularly when we see a cultivated garden, when we go and look at some great sort of park that's been cultivated with lots of plants, like Wakehurst Place or something, we go and look there, and there's a kind of a sense of longing. I wonder if that's longing to be back in the garden, in God's presence, where we can enjoy the garden, but also enjoy God. So the place is Eden. And we all need to get back to being in God's place. And really, the rest of the Bible story is all about how do people get back into that place? Because we know this morning that we are not in the area of Eden. Even if it was a very, very big place, we know that we're not in the Garden of Eden anymore. Because we know the earth is all messed up, and there are floods, and there are earthquakes, and there are people who don't like us, and there is fighting going on, and we know that we don't serve God. So we know we're not in the garden. But we need to get back in the garden. And the rest of the Bible story is about how do people get back into this place. But there's one more thing we're going to think about. It's the fact that they're God's people in God's place, but they're under God's rule. And we're going to sing about that now. We're going to sing the song, God Rules, okay? No other gods, no way. He's the Lord, he's the King, he's the boss of everything. They're in God's place, and they're to live under God's rule. That's the third thing. I wonder who does most of the talking in your house. You can answer out loud if you want, but it may have consequences. In Genesis 1 and 2, pretty much God does all the talking. Adam has a little moment when he sings a song, perhaps, when Eve arrives, but apart from that, God does all the talking, God does all the speaking. He speaks, and it happens, things are made, and he speaks words of command. He tells Adam and Eve what to do. Sometimes when we think about rules, we think about being stopped from doing things. This was like a really fun place to go. No smoking, climbing, pets, eating, drinking beyond this point. No living being, probably, beyond this point. And sometimes when we think God's rules, we think, oh, it's just all about stopping us doing good things. It's all about preventing us, holding us back. God's rubbish rules. But that's not how we're to think about God's rules anytime. That's not how we're to think about God's rules in the beginning. You see, God's people were to be in God's place, living under his rule and blessing. It was going to be really good for them if they followed what God said. God speaks and things happen. God speaks to tell Adam and Eve what to do with all the things that he had made. And he speaks, and his rules are this, really. Go forth and multiply. Be fruitful. Have loads of children. Remember a couple of weeks ago, it's the same command that gets given to Noah. Have loads of children. Be in charge. It's another rule. Be in charge, rule and subdue, and enjoy. There's loads of things for you to enjoy. Go out there and enjoy them and conquer them and work out what to do with them. Eat all the trees. Enjoy everything in the great garden. Have absolutely almost everything that you want. almost every single chocolate in the box, except for just one. Because if and when you eat that one fruit from that one tree, there's going to be consequences. You're going to start to die. Because when you grab that one, you're saying, I'm the boss, you're not the boss. I'm in charge, you're not in charge. I make the rules, you don't make the rules. I don't want to listen to your word anymore. And when we do that, we don't get God's blessing anymore. And that's what happens to Adam and Eve, that they stop obeying God's rules and they're pushed out of the garden. Living in obedience to God, to God's word, to God's rule, is the way for God to bless us, the way for God to do us good. Because we really know the reason that we're not in the garden. We know the reason Adam and Eve are not in the garden. We know the reason we're not in the garden anymore, in God's presence, having God's blessing. We know it's because we've just done the same as them. We've just wanted to be the boss. We've wanted to be in charge. And we do that from the earliest age. We want our food. We want our toys. And then later on, we want our money and we want our things. We want our stuff and we want our enjoyment. And we don't want God to disturb us and to say, don't do that, do this. Enjoy this. Don't do that because it'll harm you. We don't want God to interfere. And that's why none of us are in the Garden of Eden. None of us are in God's presence. So God's kingdom is about God's people in God's place under God's rule. But we know that we're not in God's place anymore. We thought about that. And we know that we're not really living under God's rule anymore. So how can we ever be God's people? And that's why we need the rest of the Bible to help us understand what God's up to, what God's doing. Because in the rest of the Bible, God takes us to this perfect man, Jesus, who is a real person of God, who comes from God and lives on this earth completely following all of God's rules, enjoying the good things that God has given, but also obeying God perfectly. And Jesus is the one who's got the keys to get us back into the garden. And the simple question for us this morning is, maybe we don't understand everything about Jesus and the rest of the Bible story, but do we want to be God's people in God's place, living under God's rule, listening to God's word? Do we want to be God's people in God's place under God's rule? Do you want to be a person who is living under God's rule and knowing God's blessing? And the only way to do that is to understand Jesus Christ, the perfect man who's got the keys to get us back into the garden, to get us back in to know God as our Father and our friend. And what we want to try and do through the children's talks and through working through this again is take us through the whole story, right up to Jesus and how Jesus gets us back as God's people in God's place under God's rule. But if you can't wait till then and you want to know about it, then ask your parent or a Christian that you know. So how does that all work then? How do we get back into God's presence and God's blessing? We're going to sing another song as we close, all about creation, but also creation pointing towards Jesus, who's going to be the perfect one, who's going to get us back into the garden, and one day will restore everything. So we're going to sing, Creation Sings the Father's Song. He calls the sun to wake the dawn.